Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Hello, 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 friends. Hello, hello. Currently, I am not immersed in the merciless but righteous waters, the hard nature. No, I am coming to you once again from my bathtub. 108 degrees Fahrenheit or 42 degrees Celsius, silky with Epsom salts. This is perhaps the third episode from my tub, and I'm...
We interrupt this podcast for a special announcement.
I am back from New York City, and what a fun trip. The past few months, I've been receiving a pretty significant download from the cosmos. Puzzle pieces have been falling into place. Randall Carlson, Graham Hancock, Gerald Pollack, Wim Hof. Fucking Wim Hof came onto my radar screen about a year, maybe 2 years ago. He's been liberating human physiology from the tyranny of accepted limits. And he can breeze through extreme environments that had previously killed people. When I first saw him a couple years ago, I was impressed, but I wasn't quite ready to grasp the implications for me. This past May 18th, my birthday, 2017, the Vice documentary about Wim Hof showed up in my feed. And then I watched a couple of YouTube videos and started his breathing technique. And then I found the web presence that his family created for him. And there's an online course there for $200 US. And then teacher training by certified instructors. And I figured I could glean enough by surfing the web and seeing what was already there. And then on the 22nd, I stumbled upon his US tour schedule. He was going to be in New York for a one-day workshop on the 26th. In New York City. What? I had lots of reasons to go to New York.
There was Seeing Master Roo, Anastasia, and her man who I hadn't met yet, Roman, Tommy, and Eva. Their two daughters, Aura and Emma, and maybe a third one. I was confused. I'm like, do they have three daughters or two? And it turns out that Eva is carrying their third daughter. Huh? How about that? Endel and Cecile and their three girls, two of which I had met, Sal and Nye, and the third, Ilya, I hadn't met her yet. Oh, and Mark Dillon and his wife, Lori. If you'll remember, Mark Dillon was a pretty prominent character in episode 004.1, his daughter Eliza and all their friends, their new New York friends, since they moved from Oklahoma to New York.
Yeah, so I had a lot of reasons to go back to New York. And so Wim Hof's workshop was kind of like the final straw. And I take a lot of action these days based on intuition. When things show up as like, oh, hey, this feels like a good thing to do. Well, even as I got closer to the departure time, I'm like, do I still really want to go see Wim Hof? I'm like, yeah, I really want to go see him. I rented a little Japanese hatchback. I did that because I wasn't really feeling totally confident about my Honda Odyssey. Threw my bike in there and my guitar in there and some gear, this cameras and stuff. It took me, 14 or so hours. I started way too late. As I've mentioned in previous podcasts, a lot of my other New York friendships have kind of imploded, especially when Trump came to office. But it made scheduling for this trip a lot easier, a lot less people I needed to schedule. And I saw everybody I wanted to see.
I walk down the lane, I'm happy with him, laughing, singing in the rain.
I ended up at Anastasia's place. She's a really good relationship with the parking deities. And so we found parking so close to where Wim was speaking. And we went over there and there was like 500 people. Wim was chanting and carrying on, being a total goofball and having a lot of fun. And we found a spot on the floor and they didn't have enough yoga mats and the sound was a little bit kind of not exactly clear and whatever, it didn't matter. Once Wim got in the groove, it was freaking phenomenal. What's cool about him, I mean, aside from the myriad things that are cool about him, every time he does a workshop, he tries to insert something a little new where he gets to learn. He ranted at us for a while in a really delicious way, and then he got us into the breathing. I accessed parts of my being that I hadn't accessed before. Maybe just briefly, for just moments, I had accessed these pieces of me before. But I accessed them with Wim for an extended period of time. Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal. Resonation, a vibration of my entire, of all of my body. It started in sort of maybe my head and throat and my gums, which I'd experienced here at the house. As we went deeper and deeper, it went into my arms and my legs and my hands and my gut. Wow. Oh, I'm kind of scared. Am I gonna topple over here from my lotus posture? This is kind of overwhelming. But we just kept going and going and going. And there's these rounds, these sort of cycles of breathing that he does. And I guess I kind of missed the cue. I was holding my breath at this one point when you're supposed to hold your breath. And I just held my breath right through not only the point of where you're supposed to hold your breath, but right through the whole next round of breathing. And I was just like, I don't even have to breathe anymore. I don't even need to breathe. I'm a free diver. I've been certified level 2 free diving and free diving instructors international. And so I've had some training in static breath hold. And this was really unique. This is really different. Then we went and got into the little kiddie pools full of ice water. Right before I'd left to drive to New York, I'd actually gotten in Crystal and it was probably in the 50s. It felt pretty cold, but it wasn't like ice water. When I left Michigan, I drove for quite a while, just like in my shorts with the windows down and letting the air blow over my body that had been chilled by the lake. It was really awesome. So this ice water, Wim did this crazy little thing, made us sing Over the Rainbow, and then who let the dogs out? There was, again, about 500 people out in this courtyard dipping into this water, and they were ecstatic. People were just enjoying themselves and laughing and introducing themselves to each other and loaning their iPhones to each other to get selfies with Wim. And I felt like I was standing at the beginning of something. I've been feeling this wave of change rolling over me for a while now. And there, standing in this crowd of people, I knew it wasn't just me. There's a big change afoot. A big, powerful, beautiful wave is rolling over us. We can all catch it. Maybe this wave has been rolling over us forever and is constantly rolling over us. And if you're tuned in, you can catch it anytime, any age in human history, you can catch this wave. Tune into the juicy, lovely things that are happening all around me that I just maybe forgot to be available to in my past. I mean, I've done lots of amazing things, but I feel now there's sort of a surge happening, a rising up that's unstoppable for me. And I would like to put it out there that perhaps it's maybe more than just for me. Maybe it's for all of us. And can we all find a way to ride this incredible surge of power and rapture and love that's happening right now? Anastasia and I cornered Wim and we both gave him kisses. He's going through a lot of tests at the University of Michigan right now. They had him in an MRI machine. He had found yet another frontier of human physiology to explore. He was counting on his breath to be able to activate more human physiology than we have known about. He was using his breath to do that. In this MRI machine, he couldn't really use his deep breathing technique so much because he had to stay still so they could check out what was going on in his brain while they flooded the suit that he was in with ice cold water, mind you. He's lying in an MRI machine wearing a suit where they're pumping ice water through this suit. And usually he would breathe and no problem. But he couldn't this time. So what he did instead was he found another place in his mind to do basically what he would do with with his breathing. I made a little pitch to Wim to come to Michigan and hang out with us to maybe do an instructor's workshop up in northern Michigan, where we have lots of cold water and ice year-round, really, if you want to dip down to the thermocline and pull some up. And, of course, he's Wim Hof. He's got lots on his plate, and I went and found his daughter and talked to her a little bit. We'll see what will come of that. Maybe nothing, but no harm in trying. Then Anastasia and I, we didn't actually get to eat the lunch there that they had, so we went over after everything was wrapping up, and we scarfed a bunch of pita falafel leftovers.
And went back to her place, and that was Friday night, and then I jumped on my bike and I rode in to see Mark Dillon.
Meet him and his lovely wife and daughter in Chinatown at the Excellent Dumpling House. And we had dumplings and scallion pancakes and cold sesame noodles and broccoli and sizzling garlic eggplant. His wife, Summer, him showed up. His wife's daughter and all their friends. But earlier, after my bike again, Anastasia and I rode back to Brooklyn. And then she chilled out for a while and Anastasia and Roman showed back at the house. And they said, my train got confused. This morning, it was Saturday. I jumped on my bike again.
Back here in Michigan, climbing the bunk bed. Conk. Woke up at 7. Conk again for a little while. Woke up again.
Cleaned out the little rental car.
Hopped in this bathtub to podcast for you guys.
Oh yeah, come on, show it to me. Oh yeah.
So what does Wim Hof and New York City have to do with the movie? Well, I have been discovering stuff. And do I tell you about it? Do I tell you about this stuff I'm discovering, or do I just kind of keep it to myself that Wim Hof exists, that there's such a thing as Wim Hof? And what this guy demonstrates is that physiology is way more than what you learned in school. And our limits, our supposed limits, are just that, supposed limits. What do you want to experience? What do you want to create? Dan Kelly, I'm asking the mirror here, really. You can ask yourself that question, but what do you want? Would you like to be able to experience what you actually are? Would you like that? Would I like that? Would I like to experience who I am? And if we ask that question, the who am I question, well, am I this body? My body starts and ends in this bathtub. Doesn't really go outside of this bathtub. I can run a 10-minute mile, no problem. I can run a 9-minute mile if I try. I can run an 8-minute mile if I really try. With some training and some practice, I could probably get myself down to 7 by the end of the summer, maybe even 6:30. And then could I keep going? I mean, I'm 54. Could I keep going? Could I go below 6 in high school? I could do a 5:35 mile. Could I get back down to that? Could I go even faster than that? Would I want to? Why would I want to? What do I want? Who am I and what do I want? And if you want something, if you really, really want something, can you have it? What keeps us from having being and doing what we want? While I was in the car, I came out of the closet about Abraham Hicks. At some point, you just got to come out of the closet, let people see who you are. Am I just this guy sitting in a bathtub? Am I also the tree that I can see outside the window? Am I the breath that I take? I just came back from New York. I'm back now after 5 days with not only the warmth of my peeps, my family, which was just so great to see and be with the people who I love. And now I'm back with another resource that week and a half ago I wasn't even aware of. Things coming into my life, teachers and techniques and processes. Life is math. Life is physics. Life is logic. You're going to miss out on so much. Not you, me. I'm going to miss out on so much. I can't help but feel the pulsing of the irrational, of the more, of the way beyond. What do you want to be, have, do? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Are you a name? Is that all you are? A name and a bank balance? Are you only the state of health that you either enjoy or maybe are a little bit dismayed by? Is that you? Are you your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wife, your husband? Are you your kids? Who are you? Isn't that kind of an important question? I mean, if you're gonna do stuff in your life, play a certain role, if you're gonna take certain actions, if you're gonna do anything, wouldn't it be helpful to know who it is that's doing those things? Let's imagine that you're a fire person and then you try and go do police person things. You're the cat's pajamas of librarians. And yet somehow you got confused and you're working construction. It's not too late to find out that you're actually a librarian, maybe. Who am I? And I love this question. I love this question because it's the beginning all over again. You know, and you go to meet somebody like Wim Hof and you see that he can do things that scientists are kind of like, what? That's impossible. Oh, actually, maybe it's not impossible because you're doing it and we've measured you and it's real. Scientists now have to change their idea of what's possible. We have to change our idea of what's real. And one might say, well, if you extrapolate out from that to say that the human beings are infinitely powerful, that we are deities. Well, I'm not saying that you should make that leap. I've seen enough impossible things in my own life happen. And now this Wim Hof guy is like, look, you thought what you were doing was impossible? Check this out. In the last episode, I made a point of saying, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just making this all up. Aren't we all? Isn't that human life? Just making it up as we go along. No one gives us a script. You know, I'll give you my blessing if you're following a script. I didn't get a script. I'm realizing now at this point in my life, halfway through a century, that I can make up whatever I want. The only limit to what I can make up is my willingness to believe that it's possible. My willingness to allow it to show up. That's really it. That's what I'm learning. So you're hearing me say this in May 30th, 2017. If we think of this as a time capsule, what will my life be like in a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year from now? Standing on this frontier, and what am I willing to believe? What am I willing to allow? How wildly will I imagine? What dreams will I dare to dream? I used to be wary of looking like a fool or failing or being not liked by people. I used to be concerned about those things. I'm less and less concerned about them. I'm more concerned about just feeling great, having the most fun I can have, noticing what pleasure is available, what intensity might be worth exploring. I offer myself as sort of a guinea pig in a way, because I'm opening up a door, and maybe people will watch this in 5 years and be like, yeah, that's, remember that, the video he made before he went off planet and pushed that asteroid out of our path. But I just want to give you a taste. I want to give you a taste of the now, the May 30th, 2017 now. How is it all going to end up? Better than I can possibly imagine at this moment, because I'm going to be getting better and better at imagining.
It looks pretty yummy, that's for sure. You know, actually, it looks pretty good. Let's definitely focus one more time, though.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, baby. And hello. Lesson one for life. Refuse to be embarrassed. Lesson number two. Make a lot of mistakes. Lesson number three. Don't look directly into a shower sprayer when you turn it on. Lesson number four, when you're recording in the bathtub, be extremely careful not to spray any of your gear with a shower sprayer. Oh, my hair is so silky.